Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, David Byrd. Movie mogul Harvey Weinstein has been in the news recently because of multiple allegations of sexual assault and harassment of women during his career. But he is just the latest in a long line of such cases. This week, we talk with an author and speaker about sexual assault and harassment, what they are, and what can be done to prevent them.
But it's about power. All of this is about power. And when you look at the cases that have come forward, they are examples of somebody abusing power.
That's Mike Domish. He's the author of Can I Kiss You? And the co-founder of the website DateSafeProject.org. Sexual assault and harassment are the focus of this week's American Cafe. Movie mogul Harvey Weinstein has been accused by several women of either sexually assaulting them or harassing them in his long career in Hollywood. But Weinstein is just the latest of a long list of public figures who have faced similar charges, including in sports, the media, and politics. For some insight on this subject, I spoke with author and activist Mike Domish, the co-founder of the Date Safe Project and the author of the book, Can I Kiss You? First of all, let's define terms here, because there is a legal difference between what someone would call sexual harassment versus what is known as sexual assault. How would you define the two?
Well, yeah, there are stark differences. So harassment is when you create an atmosphere or an environment that can be hostile, intimidating, or fearful. And so that is different than sexual assault, which is typically sexual contact without consent. So they're very different in how we define them. Now, can they both exist in the same situation? They absolutely can. Somebody could sexually assault someone in a workplace, and that could have started with harassment. So, or harassment could have been part of that same encounter.
This story about Harvey Weinstein talks about a man who is highly successful in his field. He's an Oscar winner several times over. He's had people from the podium at the Oscars thank him for helping them win the Golden Dude, as Robin Williams called him. But he is also now being described as a sexual predator, as someone who is preying on people or using the old Hollywood cliche of the casting couch in order for actresses to get work. Is this problem typical for powerful men? I mean, we had a political campaign last year where our now president was accused of, if nothing less, of sexual insensitivity.
Well, it doesn't even need to be a powerful person. It's a person who uses power as a weapon. That's the whole issue with both harassment and assault, any sexual violence. It's where they use power as their weapon. And that's even, you know, some people think, oh, sexual assault, that means sex is what they're seeking. No, it's power that they're using over that person. Sex is part of the weapon and the harm they do to them. They use that as part of it, but as a tool to do harm. But it's about power. All of this is about power. And when you look at the cases that have come forward, they are examples of somebody abusing power, without a doubt. And so that's really the key element here. You may not be a person with tremendous power, but using whatever power you have to do harm to others. So it doesn't have to be a powerful public person to do this.
And this is not just a female problem. Men also experience either sexual harassment or sexual assault, don't they?
That's correct. Sexual violence can happen to any gender, any sexual orientation, any gender expression or identity, anybody that, and we have to keep this in mind, it's not the victim or the survivor that is the one who's causing it, it's the predator. So think about somebody who wants to do power, they could do it to anyone. So that's what we have to understand. This can happen to anyone.
Is this part of a larger problem? Because as I mentioned, there is the old cliche of the Hollywood casting couch. But we've seen this kind of thing in my business with Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly being charged with sexual assault or sexual harassment. We've also seen it with former President Bill Clinton and his sexual liaison with Monica Lewinsky. As I mentioned, President Trump also with the famous entertainment interview that he did with Billy Bush and some of the terms he used, going so far as to saying that, you know, when you're a star, they'll let you do anything. Is this a problem in American culture, or is this something that is more isolated?
No, it is at the societal cultural level, without a doubt, and it is widespread, and it has been here for thousands of years, actually. And here's why. If you think of most sexual interaction and how you see it, whether it's portrayed in the entertainment world, in the media world, or even how it's described in many homes. and amongst friends when they're teenagers and even young 20s, the concept is if you think someone's into you, you go for it. If they don't want it, they'll stop you. So that's built on a platform of arrogance and power, right? I'm just going to do this to you and you'll stop me if you don't want it. Think about how messed up that is. Common sense would tell us that if we treat someone with dignity and respect, you'd ask them, hey, may I kiss you? Can I kiss you? You would give them a choice beforehand. Our culture says, no, just do it, and they'll stop you if they don't want it. That's what's messed up here, and that's what leads to this power-driven culture that can lead to such sexual violence.
What can be done about this kind of thing? The Me Too campaign on social media drew attention to it, but I'm not sure I've seen very many answers as far as what do we do about sexual harassment or sexual assault.
We have to transform the way we completely talk about sexual intimacy, boundaries, personal rights. We have to have very honest, descriptive, skill-building techniques taught to children at the youngest of ages so they understand their boundaries. This is true when child molesters try to violate boundaries, and we don't give children the ability to be even able to identify what was done to them because we don't want to talk about body parts and sex. And that's a problem in our culture. We have to transform the way we talk about boundaries, respect, and sexual intimacy so that it's not used as a power and a tool against people, but really as a wonderful gift it's meant to be at the appropriate age in the appropriate situation.
Sometimes you hear people say, well, she was asking for it by the way she was dressed, or she didn't say anything, so it must not have been a problem. How can we get that kind of thinking to change? If people are ingrained in the thinking that you're talking about, where I'm going to do what I want to do, and if you don't like it, you'll say no, how can we get people's mind to change? What are some specific things that people can do?
Well, a specific thing you can do is you can talk to the people you care about, your colleagues, your friends, those you know, and ask questions that help them think about the way they're thinking. So I'll give you an example. I just literally finished doing a training to military installation. We ask the audience, do most people just go for it or ask? And they're honest, right? They say most people just go for it. All right. Does every human being deserve a choice before you do something with their body sexually intimately? Everyone says yes. Everyone gets that. So everybody out there listening right now can go talk to their kids or friends. Do you think every human being deserves a choice? When the person says yes, okay, how do you normally give somebody a choice in life? You ask them a question. Everyone deserves to be asked that question and for you to respect their answer. They say no, respect it. And that's where it should stop right there. If they say no, and if they say yes, okay, they've said yes for that and only that. It doesn't mean for everything. So it's really important understanding those boundary skills and teaching them to people, not just young people, of all ages.
Mike, have I left anything out that you think my audience needs to know about this discussion?
Right. And what a lot of people forget is that for all genders being talked to this way, like some people, see, here's the thing that'll happen is somebody will be boorish and say, well, if I'm a guy and somebody said that to me, I take it as a compliment. Okay, well, what if they said something that you didn't take as a compliment that you were highly offended by or threatened by? Well, I'd hit him or whatever. Oh, so you'd have a problem with it. So it's not okay for people to just say whatever they want to say. And that's the key here, that there are personal rights and boundaries in this country. You have the right to feel safe and free. And I don't mean that we have that written, that you have the right to feel that way. But everybody agrees that you should feel safe in your workplace. You know, you should feel safe in those environments. That should not be a intimidating, threatful environment.
That's Mike Domish, the author of Can I Kiss You? If you would like more information on his organization, visit datesafeproject.org. We welcome your questions or comments on this show. You can post them on our Facebook page, VOA American Cafe. To hear previous episodes of our show, visit voanews.com. Until next time, I'm David Byrd in Washington.